Invite you to pull out your outline. That should be in your bulletin. And you'll have in there, kind of give you an idea of where I'm going with Luke's story of Mary and Martha. It highlights how to have a deeper relationship with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Mary found, obviously, the benefit and the peace. She's got this life connected with Jesus, and she's at Jesus' feet. And she's just listening, like the slide up there shows. She's just kind of listening to what the Lord's saying. And Martha missed that. She has different results, too. Martha's attention is a little bit more on herself. Martha's attention is more towards, you know, what she's going through. She's kind of involved in that. And what Jesus is trying to do, and this is probably the key point from my studies of this and looking at this story, is that Jesus is trying to get Martha to see that his strength and his comfort and his presence is with her no matter what she's doing. And that is really the challenge. That's really the power of what he's trying to share with her. Power in the sense that it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how stressful the situation is. God wants to communicate, and he is. And there are some warning signs that it's good for us to be aware of when we're a little bit overwhelmed. I would call them Martha moments. I know I had a couple Martha moments this week. I don't know if you did, and you don't know what the week's going to bring to you, but they're gonna come up. And a Martha moment, I wrote some down that come to mind. Here's an example of a Martha moment, because life is full of them. You feel like the task at hand is too hard or too burdensome for you. And Jesus says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, he can help us in that. You find that you're complaining a lot. You complain? You know, there's a tendency to complain. And, you know, we concentrate not on what God is doing, but the situation that we're in instead. And, you know, sometimes Martha's bummed out. It's obviously in this story. She is really bummed out. We want recognition for what we do. I want recognition for what I do. Is that true? Is that true with you? We want to be recognized. We want people to say, "Good job. I see what you're doing there." And when people don't recognize us for the good work that we do, whether it's in relationships, it's in our work, it's in church, it's in wherever it is, we get bummed. It's like, hey, we're doing pretty good here. And really what happens is, let's say I don't know if this happened to you recently, but you'll be doing something and people won't notice any of the good you do, but they'll find out all the little things that you didn't do. You know, and you're like, really? Come on. I'm doing the best I can here. So, you know, that's difficult for us. When you're in challenging situations without being prayed up, and that's really important, you go into your everyday situations and you're not really prayed up and strengthened up in the Spirit to really deal with it. You know, you think about it in your work, in your school, or when you were working, you would not go into a big meeting, an important meeting, without being ready for that meeting. You'd have studied, you'd be aware, you'd know what you need to do, and you'd be prepped for that. And I think life is like that too. I think that's what Jesus is trying to get Martha to think about. I'm with you in that. You can be ready, because Martha moments are going to happen. You know, we worry that we do not have enough time, resources, skill, health to deal with what we have to deal with every day. And we're just not sure we're going to be able to make it. You know, God has the cattle on 1,000 hills, it says. But it's difficult for us to see that. It's difficult for us to understand that. And I get disappointed when things don't work out. Do you get disappointed when things don't work out? You know, have all these plans and you figure, okay, this is going to happen, this is going to happen like this, and then it doesn't work out like that. I know, I have 3 kids. And, you know, you kind of plan things and you hope things are going to work out. Praise God, it's working out really good for them, but there's always challenges where we have these expectations and we hope things are going to be like this, and when it doesn't happen, we get upset. Like Martha, I think, has fears and she has worries, I think, are well-founded. Martha's big worry is that she is going to see the Bible study end and she don't have any food ready. And Jesus has got his entourage there and everybody needs to eat. And it's, you know, ladies, it might not be cultural to say this now, but back in their culture, it was the thing to do. She was to prepare the food. I mean, that was reality for them. And actually, her gripe with Jesus about Mary is legitimate because Mary should have been helping her. I mean, that was the world that they lived in. That was their culture. And so she is really upset, and Martha is upset for good reason because she's going to be in a mess if she doesn't have the food ready. She's got to have that ready at the right time. And you know, Martha is also a little bit bitter at Mary. You know, as I was saying, she did have a reason to feel like that because Mary is not helping her out. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't deal with any of that. Jesus just kind of lets that go. He doesn't challenge her. He doesn't correct her in that way at all. He just says, hey, you know, I get it. It was Martha that opened up the house. And he's asking Martha to open up her mind so that she can begin to see that Jesus Christ, God's comfort, his grace, is so powerful, it doesn't matter what you're going through. There's an idea that's in my mind at times too, and I think it's a false understanding. The idea is this, is that I have to have a quiet time, a peaceful time, so that I can really grow in God's grace. I have to have my devotion, my quiet time. And I'm not dissing that. I'm not saying that that's not true. It is true. You need to have a quiet time when you are just with God and God can speak to you. But the more powerful aspect of grace is that in your everyday life, God can speak. I'm going to ask you a very deep theological question. Okay, there's the altar, and later on at the church service, and I did earlier in the church service during our reflection time, I was praying right in front of that altar. Now, is the Holy Spirit present only at this altar? Or is he present in you? Is he present only in this place? Or is he living inside of you? You know, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, which he was going to send after he died on the cross and rose from the dead, he said he's around you now to his disciples before he went to the cross. But he said later on he's going to be in you. And in the reading from Colossians, it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, the power and presence of the gospel is that he's actually tabernacling. He's actually living inside of you. And that is huge. God could not do that if sin wasn't paid for, because Isaiah says it's our sins that have separated us from God. But since that payment has been made through Jesus Christ, God can live, he can work, he can bring encouragement to your daily life. And he's actually, in this story, this is why this story is so important to us in the Bible, because he's relating to Martha and he's saying, Martha, Martha, there's one thing, it's Jesus Christ, there's one thing. And you can have that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with. You have to manage the distractions. That's what we need to do on a daily basis. We have to manage those distractions so those distractions don't manage us, but that we're able to see that God is speaking to us. You know, Martha gets a bum rap, I think. She comes off looking as really not so good. You know, she's kind of less in faith than Mary, dreamy-eyed Mary, who's there at Jesus' feet. But Martha in the story is actually moving at a higher level of spirituality than Mary is. It was Martha that opened up her house in verse 38. And it was Martha that had the compassion, this wonderful gift of hospitality that she's sharing with Jesus and everybody. She just went for it. And now in that midst, Jesus is coming to her and saying, look, you got all this stress, I get that. I understand that. It's good that you did what you did. You're serving as a gifted child of God. Now let the peace of Christ speak to you in that environment. Let it encourage you. Let it lift you up. You know, in your outlines, I invite you to take a look at the last part of that outline with me. Because I want to leave you with this thought. It's a very, very powerful encouragement to you, because there's two ways that we can serve God. There's a difference between working for the Lord and working with the Lord. You see, we can work for the Lord. We can do all sorts of things for God. We can do our prayers. We can come to church. We can be nice to our neighbor. We can do things for God. You know, kind of like a checklist. You have these things. Okay, I need to do this. Boom, done, finished. Okay, God's pleased. Everything's good. Awesome. See, that's doing things for the Lord. What God really wants us to do is do things with the Lord. That's where there is a profound change. Where in your stress and in your difficulties and in your anxieties that are going to happen in life, we actually find strength from God to encourage us and to help us. That is the more powerful and more greater witness. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, Martha, Martha, these things got to get done. And I'm glad you're doing them because we all want to eat. But let God's peace strengthen you as you're doing them. You can stop. And I put a verse in here from Colossians of how we can stop. Of how we can actually let God's peace control you. It says that God has called you into this peace, bringing you into one body. Be thankful. Let Christ's word in all its wisdom and richness live in you. Use psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to teach and instruct yourselves about God's kindness. Sing to God in your hearts. Everything you say and do should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In each one of those verses, the idea of thankfulness comes up. And I'd like to share something with you, that you don't have to be thankful for every situation that you're in. There are some things that we should not be thankful for. They're not good. But the thing is we can be thankful that God is with us in all of those situations. See, that's the difference. There are some things that are difficult and they're hard and they're trials, but in those difficulties and trials, we can be thankful that God is with us. And that changes our attitude towards the thing, and our attitude is really what needs to be changed. Because God's grace is timeless. It's powerful. It's awesome. It's not inhibited by our sins because Christ has paid the penalty. And He wants us to live in faith to trust Him. That's the challenge that I find every day. And that's the challenge that He presents to Martha. And you know, there's a word in here. It says psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Let a song or a hymn get in your mind. Sing it over and over. Just let it kind of permeate your thoughts and your minds. It's great. It's powerful. Have you ever woken up in the morning with a praise song on your heart or mind, or a hymn in your heart or your mind? That's a great thing. That's something that God's Spirit actually does. It actually brings that to us. And what it will do, the pressures that you're feeling and the stress, the anxiety that you're feeling, in the light of singing and praising and thanking, just kind of melt away. It's amazing. Grace is that wonderful, that powerful. And it doesn't have to do with your works. It has to do with who you are in Christ. And the Word of God is just awesome to create faith and sustain faith. Do we get that right? No. I like to look at the bulletin cover as we end. Sometimes the artist really does a good job with capturing it. I think they nailed it with this one. Because Martha looks really ticked to me. I mean, she does. You know, her lips are pursed. She's got that stance, you know, one leg in front of the other. She's just kind of like, you know. I mean, she's not happy with the situation, you know. And it's funny, you know, because when we're dealing with situations like that, I wonder if we get so wrapped up in trying to do something that we don't realize the obvious to everyone else. You know, if she had a mirror and she could see herself in that mirror, it would be very clear. You know, and God is with us in those situations, not to judge you, not to discourage you, but He comes in the midst of those situations, not overwhelmed by them, but to encourage you. He comes to you and He speaks to you and He says your name. Isn't that interesting? He knows you by name. And He says, you're distracted. Peace. Chill out. You're okay. Just rest in my grace. It's brought you this far. It's going to bring you the rest of the way. And let just wash over us and give us a new perspective, a new attitude. Martha comes up later on with deep, deep faith when Lazarus is raised from the dead. And it's the same Martha and Mary that are talking to Jesus. And it's Martha who is deep conversation with Jesus Christ, and you can see that her faith is growing. And she's learning to trust Him, even at the death of her brother. And you know, that's what God speaks to us. May He bless us and encourage us in that faith. And keep us in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Our service will continue now. We're going to collect our tithes and offerings for the morning. God bless you.